Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Great to have you with us. Author William Van Leeuwen's Modern Errors About the New Testament is a thought-provoking examination of divergent interpretations of the New Testament, a book meticulously researched and written over a period of 18 years. Williams considers modern-day assumptions about the New Testament, which he says were based on inaccurate readings and false assumptions about the New Testament and its authors. William was born in the Netherlands in 1942, emigrated to Canada as a young teen, over the years completing his education with 10 years of university studies of both undergraduate and graduate courses, with an undergrad degree in rational philosophy and several advanced degrees. Modern Errors About the New Testament, a Bible study exposing the inconsistencies and misinterpretations of contemporary Christian teaching by William Van Leeuwen, who joins us on This Week in America. Book, by the way, recommended by the U.S. Review. William, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Well, howdy. How are you doing?
I am doing fine and been looking forward to this. So much to talk about, and we're going to try to get to as much as we can during the course of the program. Book's available at bookventure.com. It's available at Amazon as well, and we'll give you information as we go through the program. This took 18 years of research, 500-page history and critique. This really has been described as a significant accomplishment by you. Talk about what got you started on this. This was not a project you worked on, obviously, over the weekend. This really was life-changing, I'm sure, for you for 18 years in doing the research on this. What got you started?
Well, actually, what got me started was back in 74. A Catholic wrote to a letter to the editor here in Harrison, saying that he was surprised and dumbfounded that they did not allow any alcohol at all here in Harrison. And the biggest problem that came up is all the preachers around here complained that, alcohol is bad, alcohol is sinful. You shouldn't drink alcohol. Besides, the Jews never had alcohol. And just of all that, I answered that letter from those preachers. And I pointed out that, the Bible says there was drinking and going on all the time, and that the Jews could never save grape juice. This is what they were talking about, that it was only grape juice that they drank. Well, there's no way that you can save grape juice in those days unless you let it ferment. And the Bible clearly says that Noah got drunk on his own wine. And then it furthermore, it talks about offering daily now at the temple an amount of what they called strong drink as an offering to God. Well, how can you offer strong drink if you don't have alcohol?
Yes.
And so on. Well, anyway, that was the story, and that's what got me started.
Wow, and here we are a number of years later, after 18 years of research. Describe the book as a work of love and a work in opposition to the obvious illogical and absurd modern conclusions about the New Testament, its actual authors, and the times when these books were really written. Was this a shock to you as you went back and did the research, and we'll get involved in some of the different aspects of that, but were you surprised at the findings when you began the research?
Well, not really. I was expecting to find it, actually, because as a Catholic, I was brought up that, the authors of the Gospels are the four: St. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and basically that they were written in that order. And it turns out that that's right. And those are the only historical notations that are made on those books, that Matthew wrote first, then Mark and Luke, and then finally John many years later. And so I didn't find any surprise. What I found surprising was that people were saying that that's not true, that the synoptic Gospels were all written after 70 A.D., and even Matthew, some of them trying to say, after 80 A.D. And just from the fact that Matthew is such a simple, naive Gospel, that shows that it was the first Gospel that these people that we call apostles taught because they were not literate in the scriptures, and so they said all things kind of wrong, such as that Rahab was the mother of Boaz. That's in Matthew 1 and 5. Well, she lived 200 years before Boaz ever was born. And simple things like that show that the gospel was real naive, real simple,
yes,
that he wrote. And it had to be the gospel of the Jews back when they first started to preach to the Jews. In other words, it had to be the first gospel just after the birth of, after the death of Christ. Very simply, they did not know any better. You look at the other gospels, slowly but surely, they say things right, such as they're not going to say that he shall be called a Nazarene, like Matthew 2:23, and things like that, see?
Yes. Yes.
The other Gospels are later and much more sophisticated in this sense that they were not just simple.
And you go into great detail on that along with so many other concepts that we'll talk about during the course of the program. The book we're talking about is Modern Errors About the New Testament. The author is William Van Leeuwen, and that's VanLeeuwen. The book's available at bookventure.com in the bookstore. You'll find it in Amazon and link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. The conclusions you come up with in the book, drawn from the New American Bible, talk about that Bible and why you chose that.
Well, in particular, that Bible has all of these false assumptions in it. They have a lot of notes about each book, each epistle, and each gospel. And the notes just aren't right. And so that's one reason why I was picking on it. The other reason is, of course, that as a Catholic, I was reading it because that's supposed to be the new Catholic Bible.
Yes. Why were mistakes made? Why are the teachings compromised in there? And you deal in that in the book, but basically, what happened? Why is this not accurate?
The story is actually stupid, but that's the way it is, okay?
Yes, yes.
know, what happened is, first of all, in Germany, they started to say back at the end of the 19th century, that's before 1900, that there had to be an earlier gospel than any of these gospels, and they called it Quell, or Q, is what we would consider the letter. And they said that it had to have had all of the sayings of Jesus in it. And that's where most of these Mormon theories started from. And thereafter, they started to say, well, if that is true, then these other books all must have been later. And, of course, I hate to say it this way, but from the Protestant point of view, they really want the books to be later because that eliminates Peter as being the leader of the disciples, because then if the books were written later, like Matthew later, at 80 or later, then it could not have been written by an apostle. And so that means that what he was really saying is something that was a compromise from what the apostles did compared to what the church was doing at the time.
We come back to translations and different translations. Talk about that and how we get into trouble with that. And you talk in the book about illiteracy was a common problem back during this era. And that really had an impact on translations and transcriptions as well, didn't it?
Oh, yes. Well, of course, what everybody keeps trying to say is that all the Jews knew how to read or write. Well, I'm sorry, but there's just no nation ever taught everybody to read and write. And it's plain true that, you know, that there weren't any Bibles available for people to read in the first place. When you get right down to it, it had to be hand-copied, and it took days and months to do one copy. So how is everybody going to have a Bible to read so that they can, you know, learn to read and write? This is the position that they take, is that they learned it from their Talmud, the Bible. The Julius Bible is what, you know, they call it the Talmud. But it's just not feasible. And in fact, when you look at what the Sanhedrin said when they had John and Peter as prisoners because they had healed this man in public, and they wanted them to stop talking about this name of Jesus. And what they found out, and this is what in Acts, they said that these were just ordinary, uneducated, simple men. And that's exactly the truth. The ordinary people were not educated. Only the rich people and the priests were educated. They were the only ones that could read and write. And you have somebody like Matthew, he was actually a tax collector, but he didn't really know, you know, how to really write. In fact, the only language that he knew was Aramaic, which yes. is what they spoke in Israel at the time because of the exile in Babylon. They actually spoke the Eastern Aramaic rather than the Western, such as was talked in places like Syria and so on. They talked the Western dialect, which is quite different.
The book is modern. Anyway, yes, yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, finish your thought. It's very important. Finish your thought.
Well, the main thing is that he was not very literate. He was barely able to write. And probably he had a scribe write his gospel. He talks about it. And the later Christians all talked about how he wrote down what he taught to the Jews. And that's how we got that gospel. It's basically the simple gospel that was taught to the Jews at the time, just shortly after Christ died, until just after the persecution of that the Jews started against the Christians. And again, Acts does not really say how bad that persecution was until you start reading about what Paul was doing. And Paul is only one of the people that was persecuting the Christians at the time. And it says that Saul, meanwhile, was trying to destroy the church, entering house after house and dragging men and women, and he handed them over to imprisonment. Well, that doesn't sound so bad until you learn, that's from Acts 8:3, by the way, until you learn, I persecuted this way to death, Acts 22:4, I did so in Jerusalem. I imprisoned many holy ones, but the authorization I received from the chief priests. And when they were to be put to death, I cast my vote against them. And that's when we first learned that they were actually being put to death.
Yes.
And this is in Acts 26:10 through 11. That is, they were punishing them, and if they couldn't get them to blaspheme, which is another thing that he says, he punished them in an attempt to force them to blaspheme. I was so enraged against them that I pursued them even to foreign cities. So he was really going after them, trying to punish them, and if that didn't really work, then they would vote to kill these people, and they were crucified. But anyway, that's that's where all of this is coming from.
Yes.
It's amazing, wow. Because Saul was only a young man when the first persecution started. He was too young to stone St. Stephen. And so we know that it took years, because he later, once he was a Pharisee and an adult, he's doing all this other stuff against the Christians.
There is so much in the 500 pages, the 18 years of research that William has put into this. The book is Modern Errors About the New Testament. William Van Leeuwen is the author and our guest. The book's available at bookventure.com and the bookstore, of course, at Amazon, Modern Errors About the New Testament. You talk about how to distinguish among the transliterations, interpretations, translations. This is such a key to getting a correct understanding. In just a couple of minutes, and you go into detail in the book, but what should we look for? Because there's so many different translations out there, each with sort of a different spin on the particular area.
Yeah, okay, well, Matthew, for example, had to have been written in Aramaic because it was for the Jews. And so, you know, they spoke Aramaic. So they had to have a gospel that they could understand. And that's why the book was in Aramaic. But now I have in front of me Dr. George M. Lamps's translation of the New Testament. And, for example, we say in Matthew 16. Let me see if I can read it to you. Well, anyway, we say that Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church in 1618. Well, according to the Aramaic, he actually says, upon this rock I'll build my assembly. See, we have a different translation because we're using Greek and translate from the Greek. Well, the Greek says church, but the Aramaic doesn't say church.
And that makes
things
it
like that make us realize that, you know,
yes,
these Greek translations from later were not really actual, weren't really true. And the same is true with the Bible that was written in Greek in Alexandria back around 300. There are problems there just as much. These people were writing in Greek. And maybe they were Greeks, or maybe they were Aramaic-speaking people, but to understand the language, it takes a lot more than just learning it in school or just using it, you know, for business and whatnot. It's far
yes.
more intelligent in words that are not exactly translated properly.
And you go into great detail in that, and with the appendices that you'll find in the book, you'll find... areas that are underlined that clearly indicate that these are points that you wish to emphasize. It is so much fascinating reading in here and how things have transpired over the years. You mentioned in the end that perhaps the church in the U.S. and Canada should consider using the Knox Bible. Talk about the difference, and we've only got a couple minutes left, but the difference.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I talked too much.
Well, no. All of these are very important topics that you're talking about, and that's why I took 500 pages, and we can't condense it into, you know, a 19-minute interview, unfortunately, but there's so many key issues in there. And talk about, you're saying maybe basically we should be reading a different Bible.
Well, for Catholics,
yes.
Yeah, because of all the mistakes that these people have made. I'm talking about the Knox Bible because that's the Bible that they're putting out in England right now, and it seems to be more exact in the translation. In other words, they use, for example, where it says Adam knew Eve and she conceived. Well, they actually say new, whereas in this New American Bible, they say Adam had intercourse with Eve and she had a child. You know, it's totally...
Yes.
More sophisticated in words and not really getting right down to the true meaning of the words that are being used.
You can see why this book is so important. I'm going to take 30 seconds here. What kind of response have you been getting? Because you're calling into question something that's incredibly important in people's lives. What kind of feedback are you getting?
Well, okay, I've had feedback from several priests and a bishop, and it's all been very positive because they tend to be older Christians and they have more knowledge of some of these things that happened, where the newer ones, the Bible Society in general, has started to drift towards the meaning of the Protestants and how the Protestants think about it rather than the way the church thinks about it.
Yes.
And, of course, this was done because of the... Ecumenical Council, and they were trying to work together with all the Christians, but this Bible was written through other Christians, not just through Catholics, and so there are meanings and words in there that the Catholics would never accept. For example, they still talk about the brothers of Jesus. Well, that's not bad by itself, except that everywhere else in the Old Testament and whatnot, they changed the word brother to nephew or to grandchildren and so on, but not here. Whereas it's a fact of that all the early Christians have repeatedly told us that Jesus did not have other brothers. They were actually his cousins, which is the way the word is used in Aramaic. When they talk about brothers, they mean first cousins and everybody related to you. not just your real brothers.
That's why this book is so important, Modern Errors About the New Testament. William Van Leeuwen is the author, and the last name is Vanleeuwen. Remember the title, Modern Errors About the New Testament. It's available at bookventure.com at the bookstore. It's available, of course, at Amazon. If you don't remember that, simply go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You can log on directly to William's information on the book. You can get information. You can order the book there as well. William, the time went by way, way too quickly. Thank you so much for being with us on the program today. We only touched the surface. That's why the actual book is so important in people's lives. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
You're quite welcome.
Great to have you with us. And again, the book is Modern Errors About the New Testament. William Van Leeuwen, our guest on the program. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.